If you want to explore unique perspectives that are rarely expressed in mainstream media, you are listening to the right channel. This is CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC.
Live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sippin' time.
Hey, yes, it's sippin' time again. Welcome to this Sips episode where everything good in life is worth discussing. As always, we are the best thing on at 2 a.m.
And 3 a.m. now.
And 3 a.m.?
Yes.
What are we in repeat?
I think what's happening is that the Netflix is losing a lot of its good shows.
It's because the Writers Guild, they're on strike.
They had good shows. I stand with the Writers Guild.
We stand with them. We're not on strike.
They pushed good times out of our time slots, so we've gone up tremendously.
Well, I stand with the Writers Guild because, one, I'm always for the little guy, and two, they let us in their theater when we were elected to the Taste Awards Hall of Fame in February. So
we have to stand with them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I like how you worked that in.
But
It was not inelegant at all. It just flowed naturally. You wouldn't need a writer.
Not inelegant. It's a double name. Okay. So
not at all inelegant.
I can't follow that. Now you've confused me. So
not at all inelegant.
Well, this is Made Man Bob, and joining me today, our good old boy Justin.
Good morning, everyone.
And Made Man Maury.
Good morning, Bob. Pleasure to be here in the damp dank basement with smelly Harmeet.
Good old boy, Harmy.
Whatever. I need a writer. You know what? It's wonderful to be here.
The writers are on strike. You're going to have to make up your own words.
Yeah. Wonderful to be here and smelling the wine with you.
If you were waiting for the opportune moment, that was it.
Okay. All right. So, our sip segments are all about wine, distilled spirits, tea, coffee, pretty much anything you can drink. And today is a wine sips episode. So here are the wines we're going to be discussing today. We have the 2021 Vianta Albarino, the 2021 Martin Kodax Albarino, the 2021 Grand Bazan Attica Ambar Albarino.
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 That too.
I'm trying to Americanize it.
Marca?
Yeah, Marca. So,
and Rias Baxius.
Yeah. Philip Mignon, yeah. I drank that Rias Baxius with my Philip Mignon. Mm-hmm. From Ascendo.
Drink it on Islay?
Yes. So from Ascendo Cellars, we have the 2021 Ascendo Cellars Sauvignon Blanc, the 2019 Ascendo Larea, the 2019 Ascendo Cabernet Sauvignon, and the 2020 Dow Soul of a Lion. So we're going to tell you all about our sips ratings. We're going to have Justin tell us about that.
Welcome to Wine Island. One sip. Give me a glass of water to wash out my mouth.
This has already went straight in the toilet.
Drink water.
Two sips. Nice, but what else do you have?
Hold on.
Well, isn't that nice?
You're getting ahead of me.
Three sips. Interesting. What was this again?
Interesting.
Four sips. Let's keep this secret to ourselves. Pour me another.
That's classified.
Is that supposed to be Mr. Rourke that he's doing?
I really don't know who he's doing.
Yes.
Wow.
Five sips.
Con! There you go.
Oh, my. I was unaware anything could be this good.
Con! Yep.
Oh, my goodness.
That was his best role.
At his age, in that outfit, you got to admit, that dude looked amazing.
Yeah.
I miss him. He was a smooth operator. All right. Well, we're going to go on to our first wine region. The first three wines we have are from a region in Spain called Rías Baixas. This is a region not a lot of people are familiar with, so we're going to have Harm give you a little bit of education about it. So take it away, Harm.
Thanks, Bob. The winemaking in Rías Baixas dates back thousands of years. The region's first winemakers are believed to have been the Romans, whose occupation of the surrounding Galicia region, or Galicia. Are you supposed to? Is that
yeah,
supposed to
Galicia.
Say
you got it right. You hit it.
Yeah.
They brought the trade and technology to viticulture there. The more refined winemaking was introduced by the Cistercian monks who arrived from France in the 12th century. Wine production in Galicia and Rías Baixas flourished in the 14th and 15th centuries with the discovery of New World and the establishment of trade routes between Spain, England, and the rest of Europe. The planting and production in Galicia and Rías Baixas continued to expand through the 19th century until the trade wars and export bans led to an overcapacity and vineyard abandonment. Then phylloxera devastated the vineyards throughout Europe. Thanks, America. During the replanting of the
hybrid, it was our fault. Yeah,
it was our fault. We brought phylloxera to them. But during the replanting of the hybrid and of native Spanish varietals in the early 20th century, Albariño began to emerge as the region's star. It's actually known as the queen of Rías Baixas, showing its potential to produce the high-quality wines at the hands of a new generation of skilled winemakers. The modern winemaking history of Rías Baixas began in 1980, with the official denomination was crafted especially for the Albariño grape variety, the Denominación Específica Albariño. However, when they joined the EU in 1888, they don't allow that a denomination to be for a single grape, so they changed it to a denomination of the origin, DO, for Rías Baixas, and that allows them to have up to 13 grape varieties, or 12 grape varieties now. But Rías Baixas is still
Albariño.
90%. I'm sorry, Albariño is still the queen of Rías Baixas, and it's 90% of the plantings there. Our first wine is from the 2021 Vianta Albariño Rías Baixas. It's 100% Albariño. It's 12.5 ABV.
How's the wine?
The Vianta is located in the island at the mouth of the Ria de Arauza, named the Isla Vianta, or the Charm of the Atlantic Coast. The vineyard soil is a combination of granite, gravel, sand, and clay. Color of this wine is what you expect from a Albariño, is a pale straw. The
Very
nose
pale.
Is tropical, with a hint of mango and banana. But that came out after a long time with air. When I first opened it and poured it, all I got was just green apple, crisp green apple and light banana. But now I'm getting those tropical notes. And on the palate, it's just soft. Beautiful acidity and slight salinity. I'm getting lots of peach and lime peel. And a little bit of like lime juice as well. This is like a peach margarita. I love this. The finish is short to medium. Actually, but with lingering salinity and lime. I really enjoyed this.
The peach and the lime came out way later. I didn't initially appreciate that.
I got the peach and lime right away, but it's even more pronounced now.
That's my point. I didn't appreciate it initially. It was just the big picture. But now they're singing more like soloists.
It's a beautiful duet. That's what this is.
Yeah, no, I would agree. I think this is a beautiful wine for the warm weather we're having. It's a poolside wine. It's a daytime wine. It's
this
a
is all-day shrimp sipper. On the Barbie wine. I love Rías Baixas wines, especially Albariño, with scallops or shrimp. This is it.
Did you bring any today?
I did not, but I wish we're I at had. Bob's place.
I wish I had some.
Yeah.
Yes.
What else do you think, Amari?
Tin fish. I agree with everything you said, Harm, much to my chagrin. I have to agree with you today. It's a beautiful wine. It's well made. It's very reasonably priced. It's affordable. It's drinkable. It's an all-day sipper. I thought it was fantastic.
What did you think, Justin?
So this wine did something interesting. So initially, when I started enjoying the wine, I would get the acidity on the palate and it was smooth on the nose. Now that it's had time to breathe, I'm getting the acidity on the nose and it's smoother on the palate.
Wow. I'm blown away by that.
It happens. No, I see what he's saying. It's a little bit sharper on the nose right now.
Yeah.
And like those tropical notes I didn't get earlier, they're coming out now. You're getting that malic acid from the apple.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that. It's changing. But these aren't meant to be like really creamy wines usually. These are meant to have that good acidity.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's very pleasant.
Yeah. I mean it's the style. And I think the Albarino grape plays to that style. So you wouldn't want something with an Albarino that's creamy. I think it'd be weird. But I mean the lime was the first thing that jumped out at me in the nose. And it was not so much like a lime juice as like lime leaves.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
When you smell the tree, not even so much the peel, but the lime leaves, you get that certain greenness with it. The lime is very present for me on the palate. I'm getting huge green apple like Macintosh. I definitely get the huge peach on it, the huge Macintosh. I get that little bit of lime. I get that crisp acidity. Yeah, this with a seafood tower on a hot day out on the dock. Yeah, this is my jam. This I could go with all day long.
Even though I enjoy the flavors now that it's warmed up, I think if we were outside having the seafood, I'd want this served a little bit colder. But
well, it's 136 outside, so yeah, I think you want anything colder.
How about we just stay in the air conditioning and eat?
Yeah, I mean, I'd drink driveway cooler if it's colder. You know, I mean, it's like... It's like we're a mile from the sun.
You know, I want to say there are some creamy Albarinos that are out there. There's a couple that are wood-aged.
Yes, that is true.
But they're rare. Yeah. They're more expensive. It's a different style than your normal Albarino.
And I've had a few of them that were classic style. Yeah, I've had a few of them, like what he's talking about, that had some good wet aging to them and that are a little more creamy and excellent wines. But for me, this is, when I think of Albarino, this is what I think.
Yeah, no, this is a beautifully done. This is a great example of what an Albarino should be.
I need to find out who the distributor is. I'll see if I start carrying this one. I've never had this one before. Thanks for bringing it. Shame on you
for not carrying it.
Yeah, I mean, an excellent wine overall and a good way to start out the day. So we're going to be rating, well, we'll tell you when we come back.
Clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Hey, and we're back, and we just finished discussing the 2021 Vianta Albarino from Rias Baixas. And we're going to be rating that one a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
So yeah. We're going to go on to our next wine, which is 2021 Martin Codex Albarino. 100% Albarino, 12% ABV. The Bodegas Martin Codex was founded in 1985 and was named after the most known Galician troubadour whose medieval poems, the oldest of Galician Portuguese language with the original music, are preserved. In the poems, the troubadour sings to love and to the sea of our coastline. The winery was founded
I think it was their coastline, not our coastline.
Yeah, well, their coastline. The winery was founded thanks to the idea of a group of wine growers as basically a collective. The winery is made by people for people. 270 members make up the whole cooperative there. And they have over 300 families that supply grapes to them. We would love to discuss this wine, but unfortunately we've opened it and it's and this happens. It usually doesn't happen with our whiskey shows, but once in a while you get one that is spoiled. And
it's a damaged bottle.
This is a damaged bottle, and it's not fair to rank it based on a damaged bottle. So we're not going to be discussing this one any further. But Harm, I've had many
wines from Martin Kodak's, and they're they're probably the most familiar grocery store Albarino you're going to find. They're in some fine wine shops as well. They've got a good range. They make multiple Albarinos, and they're well known.
Large winery,
we can't review this one today.
And it's happened on wine shows in the past. We've had some. I remember one particular one we had, and it was a wine I was so looking forward to, and we opened it up, and it was just skunk. I was heartbroken.
TCA happens.
What are you going to do? Well, that's where we're going to go with that one. But we're going to move on to our next wine from Rias Baixas, and let's have Maury tell us about that one.
Thank you, Bob. The next wine will be the 2021 Grand Bazan Etiqueta Ambar Albarino. It is 100% Albarino at 12.5% ABV. The vines that produce the grapes for this expression are over 35 years old, and they were harvested by hand. They're de-stemmed and cold macerated for 6 to 8 hours. Controlled fermentation is in a stainless steel tank at low temperature, between 15 and 17 degrees centigrade. And the rest of the fine lees up to 8 months.
They rest on fine leaves.
Thank you. Bodegas Grand Bazan was founded in 1981 and is located in the Sens Valley in the heart of Rias Baixas. So this wine, again, has a beautiful pale, light straw color. On the nose, classic tropical notes, some ripe apricot, tangerine, and pastry. On the palate, it's juicy, it's light. There's some tasty elegance to it. Again, you get the tropical notes. You get a little bit of tangerine and apricot. The finish is medium and soft. There's definitely a salinity to the finish that kind of carries on for quite some time. I thought this was a very nice wine. Very well done, very well balanced, easy drinker, and I liked it. What'd you think, Justin?
So I enjoyed this wine. On the nose, I got plantains, tangerine, and like a blood fruit.
Pomelo or blood orange?
More blood orange. I'm not familiar with the pomelo, so I'll be honest.
Blood fruit
about
just
that.
Sounds gross and something, you find on the side of a road.
That's what happens. Well, that's what happens when you have two guys who have fruit stands and they get in an argument. Then you have blood fruit, and then somebody ends up dead.
It was the sequel to Blood Sport that didn't do well, right?
It's not a pleasant thing. There's damaged fruit everywhere. So
yes, on the palate, I got cream, walnuts, and pears.
Really?
Yep. And the finish was salty but smooth, fairly well balanced wine and enjoyable. What did you think?
I do not get the walnuts, but I'll give you the pears, the lime, the salinity. It's all there. But where are you getting the walnut from?
I think that was last week's snack during the movies.
He didn't wash his hands.
He's got some walnuts stuck between his teeth.
Yeah, he didn't wash his hands.
That'll be peanuts, sir.
All right.
And they're all gone now.
No, it's a lovely wine. Again, it's in the classic style of the Albarino.
The acidity is not the same as the first one we had.
No.
This is
softer.
It's a softer style.
This is ripe apricot. I get just a hint of citrus on the tip of the nose. I get a little bit of buttered brioche on the nose as well. They're their notes say pastries. To me, it's not pastries. It's more like buttery, drippy, sticky bread. But on the palate,
I would agree with you, Harm. There's much less acidity in this wine than, say, the first one. Mm-hmm. It's just a little softer all the way around.
I don't get the pastry note that you're talking
some
about.
Some sourdough in this.
It's not pastry. It's more like bread for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I actually go close to what he's saying, more like sourdough.
Yeah.
Rather than like the brioche, because the brioche is like, to me, is a warmer nose. This is a little bit
different. It's got a tropical fruit juiciness to it. I still get the apricot.
Juicy.
It's got a nice minerality to it, along with a nice salinity to it. You can taste the soil. A lovely wine, really. I mean, this is a new one to me. I haven't had it before, but
I think the time Sir Lee is what gave it that creaminess.
Oh, absolutely.
This is because I don't believe that.
If it hadn't been Sir Lee, it would probably be more like our first one, I would think. So, that's the style they're going for because they did it on purpose. But it's a label I'm not familiar with, but I will tell you that if I see it in a store, I'm definitely going to pick one up because, I mean, it's a lovely wine. Really, really well done.
Do we have a rating?
I'm going to make you wait for it.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. I'm holding my breath.
Okay, I'll give it to you now. So we're going to be rating the 2021 Grand Bazan Etiqueta Ambar Albarino, a well-deserved 3 sips.
Interesting.
Nice.
And if you see any wines from Rias Baixas, you know, on the shelf, again, it's something that most Americans have never had. You know, grab a couple. Give them a try.
I've been pushing them for years.
It's a whole new wine region that a lot of people are completely unfamiliar with, and they make excellent wines. And in Spain in general, they make fantastic wines in Spain, and they're always...
I find that Spain is the best value for wine.
It has been for at least a decade.
Yeah.
At least. So, I mean, you get some really fantastic wines for a really good price.
I used to say South American wines, Chile and Argentina, but I think Spain is still killing it right now.
You get better. Spain's been killing it for a while.
Oh, yeah. At least 10 years, like you said.
Well, if you remember back in the late 80s and early 90s, the Riojas that you could pick up for $15 were just insane.
Compare them to $50 French wines.
Yeah, so.
That's true.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
All right, so we're going to move on to our next one, and we're going to have Justin tell us about Achendo Cellars.
So Achendo Cellars was founded by Bart and Daphne Araujo. Their journey as Napa Valley vintners began in 1990 when Daphne and Bart became proprietors of the historic Esiel Vineyard in Calistoga.
Islay.
But it's not Isla.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or Islay.
Or Islay. It's E-I-S-L-E-E.
And launched Araujo Estate Wines. Relying on their previous business and landscape design experiences, they learned how to grow grapes and farm organically and biodynamically, and went on to produce one of the most celebrated wines from the region. After selling their namesake label to Francois Pinal Artemis Group in 2013, they opened Achendo Cellars in 2013 with their children, Jamie and Greg. The winery is located at Wheel Farms. Originally part of the
Wheeler.
Wheeler Farms.
You should know you were there.
That's true. But I had a little wine.
Yeah, for 3 days, yeah.
Yeah.
And today as well, you've had a little wine.
Yeah.
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 Not as much as those days.
It's the little one.
Not yet.
Yeah.
Originally,
I'm glad you did it because I didn't want to do it. Yeah. But it was
somebody had to do it. Someone had to. Yeah, no.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Originally,
it's not
part
you, it's me. No, actually, it's not me. It is you.
Originally, part of the 2,000-acre Carne Humana Spanish land grant, Wheeler Farms was established in 1871 by Charles H. Wheeler, a founding member of the St. Helena Viticultural Club. In 1894, Charles's son and president of the California Board of Viticulture, J.H. Wheeler, expanded the farm with the purchase of 100 more acres. This purchase included the modern-day Wheeler Farms property, which was planted with grapevines, fruit, nuts, and citrus trees at the time. In 2014, a group of oenophiles led by Bart...
Oenophiles.
What is it?
Anophiles.
Anophiles?
Yeah.
Okay. Led by Bart and Daphne, Araujo purchased the property and committed to continuing the Wheeler Farms legacy, reconnecting the property with its agricultural and winemaking roots. Today, Wheeler Farms state-of-the-art winery offers the Wheeler Farms winemaking team, as well as other quality-driven wine brands, the opportunity to produce wine using the most advanced technology available. And we're going to talk about the 2021 Achendo Cellars Sauvignon Blanc. It's 13.9% alcohol by volume. All the grapes were hand-harvested in the chilly morning and brought to the winery for whole cluster pressing. The wine was fermented in new and used French oak barrels and concrete eggs, and it's aged surly. On this expression, on the nose, I got lilies, lychee, and white pepper on the nose.
I don't know where the hell you got lychee from, but I'll give you the lilies and white pepper.
And it's a very nice pale yellow color. On the palate, I got pears, white pepper, and lemon, which, and it finishes with lemon as well. One thing is, after this has been open a half hour, I got a much stronger fresh bread note than I did in the beginning. That's become more prominent, but it's really pleasant. It just makes me want to eat a lot of bread. What did you think, Bob?
Well, I definitely, on the nose, I get the white flowers. I get the white pepper, and I get just a little bit of white peach. On the palate, I definitely get the white flower notes again. I don't know about the lychee. I do get a little bit of pear. Get a little bit of pear, a little bit of white pepper. It's a lovely wine, but what I will say about it is when we first opened it, the nose was tremendously muted.
Right.
I mean, there was almost no nose to it at all. It was
smelling water.
And as we sat here and discussed how the nose was not there over the course of an hour or so, all of a sudden it just bit by bit came up, and it went up to 10.
But I want to interject right here and digress and say that is 100% true, but about a half an hour later, it's gone again. For me, it just disappeared again.
I poured some more fresh. I'm getting the white flowers, a little hint of anise, a little beeswax, and a little hint of lemon. Maybe you said apricot?
White peach.
White peach.
That's what I got.
It's gotten more interesting as it's warmed up. It's a combination of warmth and air, and it's changed a lot. But I agree with you.
The longer it sits, the more the nose comes up.
It was very muted, but for me, the nose came and went.
See, this my problem is this whole style of Sauvignon Blanc from California in general, I think they use too much oak. There's no reason to use this much oak. And even though this is a combination of new and used oak and concrete egg, which I love winemakers experiment with concrete egg. It just does something beautiful to the wines. It's just...
Are you finding this wine over-oaked?
It's not over-oaked. I just find that it's not overdone, but I think it's killed the acidity to the point that it's become insipid. The wine, I expect a little more acidity from Sauv Blanc. It doesn't have to be New Zealand, acid bomb. It doesn't have to be all tropical fruit or passion fruit or pineapple or whatever, or grapefruit, or it doesn't have to be gooseberry, but it has to have some acid. And the same thing with like French Sauvignon Blanc, Sancerre, some beautiful minerality, some a beam of acid, but I feel like they killed the acid completely here.
Well, they did, but I'm not sure if it's the oak that killed it or not. But I would say that this is not over oak. The concrete eggs definitely, and the used oak definitely have muted the amount of oak they've used. But I agree with you. Something's, for the price point and for the quality of the wine, something's missing.
I love the flavor, but the acidity is missing. The flavors are there, but the acidity is missing. It's just kind of weird for me. And then, and again, the nose went away. What happened?
Right.
I don't know if this could this bottle be damaged? I don't know. Maybe send us another one. Let's check it out again.
My glass still has.
You still taste it? You still?
Yeah, I still have nose in mine. So I don't know. Maybe you guys.
I poured a fresh one. So.
Well, there you go. So it hasn't got any air. Once you put the new stuff in, it needs to sit in the glass for a while. That's what did it. Because that was what we had. I mean, for the first 45 minutes, we sat here with it. The
it's,
nose